Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome again, everyone, to our pre-New Year's Eve celebration show. So it's a pleasure to have Star Cochran here in the studio with me today. How are you today, Star?
Excellent. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a real pleasure to have Star with us. Let me introduce her. She's a financial advisor and tax accountant since 1984 and presently heads her own company called Star Cochran and Associates, which specializes in individual tax preparation and audit representation. A certified financial planner and registered representative for independent broker-dealers for over 15 years, Star then shifted from managing clients' portfolios in 2006 to concentrate now on writing, speaking engagements, coaching, and income tax matters. Growing up in Tucson from a very young age, Star credits her mother with being her first financial teacher. Pursuing accounting then at the University of Arizona, Star later received her master's degree in education from Northern Arizona University. Her early career experiences, or prior life as she says, includes being a police officer and an academy instructor. So our topic today is Star's first book, The Bread and Butter Chronicles, a novel approach to personal finance. It's a self-help financial novel which draws readers into the world of four women who face different financial challenges. Star is continuing the series with the same cast of characters who face ongoing financial trials and tribulations, which is an approach that's actually enabling her to discover and implement some non-traditional avenues through which to educate and entertain the public in the area of finance. Entertain the public in the area of finance. I never quite thought about it as entertainment, but you know, you roll that with your passion and interest in income taxes. And I know you're a lady that brings in a very different set of skills to the party.
I do. And I have to credit that idea to a friend and client of mine who said, you know, I really should learn about money, but unless it's in a novel, I'll never get it. And I thought, you know, I imagine that there's quite a few people that may be intimidated by what can be considered very dry financial information. So I wanted to make it fun.
Well, and I think it's not just intimidating, but it's just flat out boring. I mean, let's take it to that other level. Of course, you're dealing with an engineer here, so I like very clear rules and regulations and problem solving. But for me, accounting always just came across as so clinical and arbitrary, which I know it's not if you get into the deep science of it. But at any rate, the whole idea of how do you make it indeed entertaining, because that's the way a lot of people can learn.
I think that stories are a great way to learn. And, I mean, we live our lives as stories. And when we hear other people's stories, we glean something from that we can learn from. And as you read this book, you'll glean some information from these characters and how they deal with these, especially financial challenges.
Yeah. And so, Star, the book that you've written, of course, it's been out how long now?
It's been out 2 years now.
2 years. Great. And what kind of reaction have you gotten so far?
It's been excellent. I've had some great reviews. One particular reader said that she had actually bought this for her sisters as a gift. And unfortunately, shortly after she had given them all this book, one of the husbands had passed away quite unexpectedly. And thanks to the information in the book, she made some different decisions, and I think better informed decisions.
You know, it's one thing for any of us to understand the nuts and bolts of financial planning, but it's another thing to come square at it when you're in a time of emotional distress, such as you mentioned your friend's sister to lose a spouse.
And we as women especially, I mean, we all need to learn about money, but women in particular need to learn because most of us are going to have to deal with our finances at some time in our lives, either because of the death of a spouse or divorce or the fact that many women decide to remain single. And so at some point, since you have to deal with this anyway, why not deal with it when you're, as you said, not in this emotional state? How tragic to have to deal with such a heavy topic, especially if you've, never looked at it whatsoever, and then not have time to grieve.
Exactly. And in fact, if it gets swirled into the grieving process, I can't imagine that you're necessarily making the kind of decisions you would have made otherwise.
I absolutely agree. I think that our emotions certainly taint our decisions. And I have found, and I recommend to people who have lost their spouse, to only make the absolute critical financial decisions within that first year so that you have a time to kind of settle in with your life and your situation.
Which is involved with perhaps a different financial situation, but also just the decision-making authority and responsibility that may be shifted to your shoulders, or now you have to carry it singularly when before you had a partner to do that.
Absolutely, and I have found that very much so along those lines. Sometimes widows will come and talk to me just because they want to bounce something off of me, because you're right, they miss that partner talking about whatever decision they need to make. So they just want to, they want a sounding board that they miss.
Well, in fact, I mentioned as I listed out the kind of things you're involved in these days is this idea of indeed tax advising and financial advice, but also coaching. And so the coaching element, I imagine, Star, is as much about your knowing how to ask the right questions, let alone provide the answers.
Yes, and I've also, as part of the coaching aspect, I'm very much about, I love entrepreneurship. I love budding entrepreneurs. So whatever I can do to help someone start a new business, make some critical decisions in a well-informed way right from the beginning instead of trying to pick up the pieces somewhere down the road.
Which easily for entrepreneurs who they're all about the big idea, it isn't necessarily the business around the idea. So they have to keep grounded in that, aren't they?
Absolutely, yes. I have horror stories that abound that they're great at what they do. They have a great idea, and you're exactly right. If they don't pay attention to the details and the business part of it, the best of ideas can fall apart.
Yeah, that's right. We're speaking here today on Circles of Change with Star Cochran, and her book is called The Bread and Butter Chronicles, A Novel Approach to Personal Finance. And anyone who's streaming with us right now, you can go out to Starcochran, starcochran.com, see the other additional resources and perspectives. So you came up with the novel idea from a client who said, if it only was a novel, then I might read it. But tell me, where did the four characters come from?
They are a conglomeration of many people I've met over the years. And of course, I'm in each of them, at least a little bit of me. So it's easy to write.
And did you find sitting down, but the process of writing the book, was it a struggle at all? Or did it kind of evolve over a longer period of time, shorter period of time, writing the book?
This first book did take quite a number of years to write because my goal was to not only make it an interesting story, but of course to incorporate this information. And so I had to decide which financial topics I wanted to cover, how I could weave those into the story so that it would be entertaining and engrossing.
And also, as you said, educational, because that's what you said. You had mentioned to me when we were preparing that you have found in yourself this desire to educate people, and actually did it earlier in your life, and now you find it coming back as a major role you'd like to play.
I do. I love the education part. And yes, when I was a police officer way back when, I taught at the academy for a number of years and was actually the first female in that role. And I loved that. And now I'm very excited to be back into that with both feet.
And do you find, now I know in the course of the four characters, because I've enjoyed and was very entertained in reading your book. In fact, it puts you a little bit on edge because you see yourself in each one of the characters. At least I did. And I'm thinking, you know, I probably do that too. But it isn't just the what's going around in the individual's heads or their lives, but you also bring forward the stories about couples, which I think, as we alluded to earlier, it's so easy to just over time find one partner delegated to do it more than the other, or then we get in cross purposes without even realizing because we haven't had the conversations.
Exactly. It's one of the main messages in the book, and I talk about this regularly to couples especially. But you're right. We need to, if you have a partner in your life, you need to discuss your finances. It shouldn't be a dictatorship. You need to be proactive as a couple. And a couple of my characters in the book are very challenged in this respect.
You know, our relationship with money actually starts when we're very young, doesn't it? And it was the influences of how we were raised or those around us. I mean, we acknowledge that you felt your first teacher was your mother. And so some people don't have the benefit of some of that educational process early on as opposed to the controls. And so how have you guided your clients through those various phases to really be able to be empowered to take charge of their situation, Star?
Well, you hit it right on the head that we start learning our money lessons at a very young age, even just by observing our parents, how they interact with money. It moves on through school and peers and school teachers and things like that. So that when we come to a relationship with someone, we're coming usually with two totally different, I call it financial DNA.
I was going to say fully loaded.
Fully loaded.
Yes.
Good term. And so without a discussion about maybe some of this history and what's important to us, what was important to our parents that we now share, it can be a recipe for disaster. So it's one of the most important, although not very often done conversations. When you're getting close to getting serious, I think it's time.
Or as your book portrays, when there's significant step changes in your life condition, that now is a take of time and you know, rethink it. I know for my husband and I, when we moved here to Arizona, is, you know, the whole legalities around managing money is very different than how it's managed back in Connecticut. And particularly, of course, your book is also a great resource. In fact, might add that probably a good fifth of the book is a very rich appendix of short primers on each of the major topics from estate planning to income statements and so on. But you don't realize many times when you move across the country or, you know, from state to state, the game changes.
It does. We have community property states and non-community property states, and the income and the situations were taxed differently. It's treated differently for estate purposes. So you're right. It's very important that wherever you are, you check with your laws, and that's going to dictate how you talk and come to grips with your financial situation.
Well, I think the other side of it is just a chosen lifestyle. I mean, over the years, you've been in this business such a long time, you know, as a certified financial planner and a representative and broker-dealer. So you've seen a different propensity of risk come in with your various clients. And I'm sure when you dealt with couples, they might came in with those two different sets of DNA. They didn't even realize they had a difference until they had to make those choices. But wouldn't you also say in this day and age of just turning over my financial management to my 401k within my large company that, you know, I can push a trigger, you know, push a button every now, you know, every other year or so, that landscape has changed so dramatically for people?
You're absolutely right. It has changed a lot. Our world is changing so quickly anymore. And it used to be back in the day when I first started that you could pick some investments and they pretty much were okay for you to just kind of hang in there. You check on them every once in a while, but pretty much they were going to be fine. And that's not true anymore. You need to be an active participant in your financial life as much as we are in every other aspect of our lives. And that means really keeping an eye on our 401ks and, as we just discussed, constantly talking about our finances, our money with our partners. Very, very important.
And so when you see, and I think it comes across in your novel, The Bread and Butter Chronicles, that people's lifestyles also change over time. And sometimes I don't know that we're as mindful as seeing how they've evolved, whether it be, you know, free-for-all spending or actually tightening down and then taking the fun out of the life of others that might be around us. That maybe it's sharing some of those financial well-beings for experiences as opposed to stuff. But I think as well, sometimes that stuff sneaks up on us because we're so much living life as it stands.
That's true, and I think that's a good reason to have that sounding board, a financial advisor, if for no other reason, just to put some stuff out there, and for someone to be that third party, that outsider who may be watching you go from. And I think we've all been there when we're young and we think we're going to live forever and never retire, and we spend it like we have it. And then, of course, as we get older and we start looking at retirement, that maybe we want to be a little bit more conservative and not buy, or we don't need quite as many things as we thought we did when we were younger. And so, again, it just helps to have somebody to kind of guide us through that process and have that overall picture for us.
Yep. Well, Star, your book, again, The Bread and Butter Chronicles, A Novel Approach to Personal Finance. You've indicated, you know, I think, again, the lives of these four women that interconnect, and you've put some nice resources there in the appendices to guide us. What's the next installment going to look like then?
The next book is titled The Dough Rising.
Dough Rising. Okay. Yes. So I'm going to make money on my money, I hope.
Absolutely. And it's the same for characters who, of course, have new financial challenges, as we all do. It is a trilogy. There will be a third one as well. So part of my challenge this time is then to now not only delineate the topics for this book, but then the ones I want to cover in the third book.
In the third book. The idea of you becoming an author. Now, this wasn't something you necessarily started out on a mission to go do. It just kind of came to you that you would step forward on that. Your advice and wisdom to share with others that might find themselves at that same juncture.
Well, one of the other themes in the book, and I'd like to continue that thread, is that there are many opportunities out there for us. We just need to be open to them. So kind of widen those blinders a little bit. Take the blinders off. Look at this, what's going on around you, and you might be surprised. Something may come up that can change your life and take you in a new, exciting direction.
And so this is where a part of your work, I think, it kind of evolves into this broader perspective of not just coaching people on the financial side of things, but really identifying with the things that really resonate with them.
You're right. And I have just loved this new path that has kind of opened up for me. So thank you to my friend and client for that.
I would say. But I also mentioned, you know, again, in my opening remarks, introduced that you right now are concentrating on writing, speaking engagement, coaching, and income tax matters. So my question is then, is that you still kept this very pragmatic skill set that takes you in these wild cycles around April 15th and then I think October 15th for those of us that were late to the deadlines of April 15th. And so for you personally, still having a part of your life so ensconced in structure that seems to be working for you then?
Yes, I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse to have both a creative and an analytical side that I love. So I'm fortunate to be able to have three months of the year where I let my logical analytical side have some fun, if you want to call it that, and the rest of the year for my creative side to have some fun. So I've structured my practice that way, and I love it. I feel very, very fortunate.
Well, it's an interesting set of challenges because I've been one that's had the benefit of an accountant keeping me out of, you know, IRS jail, so to speak, for many, many years. And I tell you, that field changes so often. I mean, the rules and regulations and let alone the dynamics. So I applaud your ability to keep your finger on the pulse of all those resources and sources of change. But I think at the same time, say, okay, now how can you make sense of all of this for us common, ordinary folk that aren't following it so closely, like in the versions of your, you know, one, upcoming two, and then eventually a third book.
And one of the topics covered in the book is, you know, for example, how to pick a business entity. Again, we were chatting about people decide they're just going to go into business, they have a great idea, and then I'll say, well, what sort of, you know, how are you going to be taxed? What sort of business are you going to be? And they just kind of give you this blank stare. So it walks you through that process on how to make that decision. And yes, the laws are constantly changing. So I tried in the book to make it pretty generic, but of course, always good to double check in with an accountant as you start that new business.
Exactly. Again, we're speaking with Star Cochran. Her book is The Bread and Butter Chronicles, A Novel Approach to Personal Finance, and it is a novel. Have you had anybody kind of fall into the storyline and so on and then say, oh, wait a minute, this is trying to give me an education at the same time?
I have. I've had quite a few comments that way, and they were also very disappointed with as they're going through, and as you said, there's probably a fifth of the book that is the appendix, and they think they have quite a bit more story left, and they get to the end of the story and very disappointed. On the one hand, they were just so
getting the steam going, right? Starting to get wired in.
Exactly, and they feel like, oh, well, what happened and what's going to happen? So there's a cliffhanger there at the end.
Which is very mindful, of course, if you're one that's going to write a sequel, right? Or
exactly,
two sequels, right?
Exactly.
That's right. I wonder if you're going to be on the track to turn this into a movie or some other visual form to complement your education series.
It could.
Because, role-playing quite often is some of the most powerful ways for people to learn when they kind of get themselves into the moment and see it spill back.
It could. We never know.
You never know. Well, if I could take you back and then do your earlier life, as you mentioned, of having served in the police force. And by the way, thank you very much for that contribution to our safety here in the greater Tucson, Arizona community and the like. And then also teaching at the same time. Was that something you had gotten a master's in teaching, if I recall. So was this always a desire to pair the two together, or is that kind of a before and after effect for you?
Well, it was something that was very interesting to me, something I wanted to do when I was on the department, and it was a lot of fun. And then later on, after I got my bachelor's, I had actually sort of kind of toyed with the idea of getting a doctorate in psychology. So I thought, well, I'll get a master's in education with a emphasis on counseling to see if I liked it. And I think I'll leave that to Dr. Phil. And
Other than you probably underestimate the power of all of that you bring to the party, right, in the type of work that you do with your clients, Star. So,
well,
I think,
thank you.
You know, we can never underestimate the power of education, let alone all of our life experiences like you've had that have played into the stories. Again, we've had a real pleasure here on our New Year's Eve-ish show to interview and spend time with Star Cochran. Her book is The Bread and Butter Chronicles, A Novel Approach to Personal Finance. You can reach Star at her office at 520-326-3937 here in Northeast Tucson. Also visit starrcochran.com to learn more about her book. Watch her sequel evolve. Are we going to see it here in 2013 then coming up, do you think?
Yes, you will.
Oh, my goodness, so we do. We have a New Year's gift coming in due time. Thank you very much, Star, for contributing to our show today.
Thank you so much, Zara.
My pleasure. And just a reminder, folks, that today our special book to be raffled off is indeed Star's book, The Bread and Butter Chronicles. You can participate in that raffle electronically by either sending an email to change@thelarsengroup.com. Call me toll-free at 877-544-2580. Or last but not least, and preferably, if you carry a smartphone, just send a simple text message of Dr. Zara, D-R-Z-A-R-A, to 313131. That'll opt you into both our mobile following as well as the raffle. Again, D-R-Z-A-R-A to 3331, our 800 line 877-544-2580, or simple email to change@thelarsengroup.com. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsengroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.